To know you. To know you. Is a cry. Is the price of our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, you send. You revealed yourself to Moses. And you said that the Lord came down in the cloud. And that you caused your goodness to pass before him. Lord, we ask that you will account us worthy to behold your goodness. Not with the eyes of man, but with the eyes of the inward man. So Lord, we ask that you might sprinkle fresh water upon us. Even this water of sanctification. That you might open the eyes of our understanding. That we might see you. We might see you within our hearts. That we might know you even within. We ask, Lord, that you might break the bread of life. For the letter killeth, but you say that the Spirit giveth life. Lord, we ask for the life that comes from your Spirit. Those things that have not entered into the heart of man, neither have the eyes of man seen or heard. But Lord, you say that you have revealed them to us by your Spirit. We ask, Lord, for the ministry, for that revelation that comes by your Spirit. That it might come like the dew, like the rain. Let it be like the word that goes forth. That will not come back. That will not come back to you void. Lord, let it be like the wings of the eagle. That will cause us to rise. That will cause our soul to rise. Lord, that you will quicken us and cause us to rise. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will cause us to rise. Amen. You cause our soul to rise beyond this flood from the enemy, to rise to the mountains. Lord, it is the time of the singing of birds. It is the time of the voice of the turtle dove. It is the time of rejoicing again. It is the time of your visitation. For you say you will go down to your garden. Say, my beloved has gone down into his garden. Lord, that you might come to this garden. Lord, that you might open the way. That we might come back into the garden. For it is time to be restored. For he said, the set time has come to favor Zion. Lord, we receive your favor to see that which you are doing, that you might write it plainly upon the tables of our heart. We just bless your name. We receive strength to come to your table. We receive grace to come to your table. Lord, at the entrance of your word, let it be like the shout of the archangel, with the voice and with the trump of God, even the command of our God. To bring light. For say the entrance of your word bringeth light. Lord, let your light come into our soul. Let our soul be flooded, be illuminated by the glory of your appearing. We just bless you for this August assembly. For this assembly, hallelujah. Lord, we just submit to you. Hallelujah. Bless your name. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I'm just going to go on from where Brother Mark stopped. Because it's the same message. I woke up early in the morning and I was writing something about the wise virgin. So I just wrote down wise virgins. And when Brother Matt finished, I showed him what I'd written. But I'm not going to look at what I've written. I believe that the Spirit of God has something to say to us. The first thought that comes to my heart is the thought about Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel. 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 It means God with us. Well, most of the time, when we say it, we don't really mean what we say. You know, we don't really mean, and we don't really believe that God is coming in us. You know, we say it as a matter of religion, because it's something that we have been taught. But this is the opening thought. You know, this is the opening word that God is speaking now. God with us. Amen. And you know, I believe God is giving us certain keys that we can use to overcome. I'm not really going to digress to show you, what is happening. Because when you look at Revelation chapter 8 and 9, and then Revelation 16, everything that has to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. All the trumpets, all the seals, all the bowls have all been broken. Everything. So there is nothing that is to be done that has not been done. Amen. And so we live in a time in which many things are happening around us, and we are kind of, you know, just coasting along. We are being carried along by the events. And it's important to understand what God is saying. And for me, the key, you know, is to look at priesthood. You know, and that's what Brother Mark was showing us. The priesthood of Christ, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But you see, you can't understand that priesthood without understanding the basics. You know, and the basics of the priesthood of Christ is from this word, Emmanuel. God in us. God in man. And Christ is based on the principle of Emmanuel. Christ means that man in whom the fullness of God is tabernacled in. Amen. And God sent a man into our midst, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Now, this is something that the devil doesn't want you to remember. Amen. You know, he would rather want you to, you know, think about other things, get involved in other things. But this is the basics of our victory. Amen. Emmanuel. God in me. Well, it's good to say God in man, but that doesn't really bring the message. When you say God in me, in you, and I'm thinking, is it possible that God is going to be manifested in me? Is it possible that God is going to be manifested in me? Is that, do you, how many of us believe that God is going to be manifested in us?
Amen.
No, I don't think you believe it. Well, you believe in your head. I believe in my head. But the reality of it, I'm not willing to accept. Maybe you are willing, but I know I'm not willing. I'm not yet. You know, because if you say God is coming in you, and if you realize that God is coming in you, then the devil has lost the victory. The devil has lost the battle. The game is over for the devil. Amen. If you know, and if you understand the fact that God is coming in you, that not just God, that the fullness of the Godhead is also going to be bodily revealed in you. Yes. The fullness of the Godhead is coming in man. And God showed us an example. It's not something very big. It's very simple. He brought one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this is a historical fact. You can check it out on your internet, that there was a man called Yeshua. Amen. Is that history? Can you verify it? You know, someone said there was a man called Julius Caesar. I said, fine. Julius Caesar was alive, was born, and was alive even before Christ. Isn't that so? All right. And there's another one called the Greek man. What's his name now? Alexander, yes, Alexander the Great. Was there anyone called Alexander? Yeah. That's a historical fact, isn't it also? Well, I want to introduce to you another man called Jesus. Amen. And in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Amen. You see, that's the end of all controversy. That's the end of all controversy. That Jesus was a man like you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil will have us believe something different, that Jesus was an idea, you know, something you cannot relate to. It's very, you know, God is so far away, you know. So when you think of God, then you have to imagine that God is so far away. But the scripture says that you will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Amen. Now, the Bible says that God didn't just think of Emmanuel alone. He says that he will bring many other sons to come to that estate, to that experience of having God manifesting fully in them. And those group of men will be called Christ. Okay? So, the first man will be Christ, Jesus. And then there will be others coming after him. And then you will call them the body of Christ. Amen. And the body of Christ will be marked, will be distinguished, or you will know them because they will also have the fullness of the body of Godhead dwelling bodily in them. Amen. But how can God dwell in a man? How can God dwell in a man? How can God dwell in a man? Is it possible for God to dwell in a man? Is it possible? Amen. How big is God? You see, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay, so if God is so big, you know, say the heaven and the heavens of heavens, they belong unto God. Amen. Then how is it then that this God is going to dwell in you? He's going to dwell in me. Amen. So, what does that add up to? Now, what it adds up to is that the devil has given to us a wrong picture. Now, I was saying to someone, the plan God had in mind, what he wanted to do, he planned it even before the Old Testament, before even Israel. I know we like Israel, we'll talk about Israel and all that, but that's good. But I'm telling you, this business started before Israel, and it's going to go on in spite and despite and inclusive of Israel. Amen. So you have to understand what you understand the game. Now, the game begins from the beginning. Amen. Now, at the beginning, it says there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There is a lamb slain. You know what? There was an altar that was functioning even before the altar of Moses. Even before this, there was already an altar that was functional, recognized of God, that the devil knows about, but he doesn't want you to know. He tells you it's not existent, but that is the basis upon which the devil deals with you. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is that man has always been. In fact, Moses says, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Man has always been a temple and will forever be a temple. In man is an altar. The real altar. When you think of priesthood, you think of the soul of man. You think of your own soul. You think of your mind. Amen. Now, the question is, what is an altar? What is an altar? An altar is a place where you make sacrifice, isn't it so? Okay, you will agree with that. Amen. So, I'm not losing you. I can see you are still with me. Amen. An altar is a place where you make sacrifice. Fine. So, let's go one step further. Now, when Moses brought the sacrifice and put it on the altar. What happened to the altar? What happened to the sacrifice? Moses brought the sacrifice after he had built the tabernacle. Even Abraham did the same. He also brought the sacrifice, isn't it so? Now, what was it that happened to those sacrifices? Okay, someone says it was consumed by God. Really? Do you believe it? So, he brought the altar, he brought the sacrifice, then fire came down from God. Alright? In other words, an altar is the place in which the heavens and the earth come together. Okay, you will accept that? An altar is the place in which is the meeting point of the spirit and the flesh. Is the meeting place of the heavens and the natural. That is an altar. Amen. Now, if you go, well, probably even here is there, but you know it's probably hidden. You say it's occult religion, so you probably come to Africa where it's not occult. All right. When you see a grove, when you see a shrine, you know that there is a spirit behind the shrine, isn't it so? And 1 Corinthians 10:20 says that the offerings that the Gentiles bring, that they offer it to devils and not to the idol. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Now the offerings the Gentiles bring, they bring it to devils and not to the idol. In other words, behind every shrine there is a spirit. Behind every idol there is a spirit. In other words, when you are involved in idol worship, you are actually having fellowship with spirits. I'm trying to just, you know, bring a foundation. And what is the foundation? That man has and will always be a temple, a place of sacrifice, a place of worship. In fact, the activities of all the people who dwell in Dubuque, when you put it together, you say it is the culture of the people of Dubuque. Isn't that so? Culture is what? The way of life of a people. Isn't that so? What you say is the American culture. It's the way the people in America behave that you say it is their culture. Isn't that so? But the scripture says that the activities of the soul of a man, that it is sacrifice. It is worship. Amen. So, in the things you do, you are having fun, but as far as devil is concerned, you are actually bringing worship. And one of the problems and one of the issues God has with the end time church is that the end time church has lost its savor. Savor. You know, salt. When salt loses the saltiness, it is of no value. That's why it says that Lot's wife will become a pillar of salt. That is, she's just history. She's there, but it's of no value. He has lost the essence of her being. And the end time church is coming into that place of saltiness, because we are losing our spiritual cutting edge. We are losing our spiritual cutting edge. Amen. We are losing our spiritual cutting edge. Because, you see, God is telling us about, you know, the tabernacle. But here is the tabernacle. Amen. Here is the tabernacle. He says, present your body as what? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. Well, I'm going round and round. I'm trying to try to just arrive at one point. Now, what is the point I'm trying to make? That the purpose, the essence of what God is doing is you. It's you and me. Amen. God is interested in me and in you as a person. Now, we know the facts, we know the history, we know the, you know, the we have the information about the soul. Okay, the four natures of the soul. But you see, we have stopped short. We have not applied it. We have not applied it to everyday life. And because we have not applied it to everyday life, we are not overcoming. Because that is where the devil, you know, has brought deception. You know, we have taken it out of us. You know, when we think of church, we are not thinking of this. Church is this building. And God is saying, we need to repent. We need to come to repentance. Now, going to the scripture that Brother Mark was reading this morning, he talked about the five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. You know, so in the scriptures, he gives us examples of these wise virgins. So you have the foolish virgins, the wise ones, but it gives us examples of what a wise virgin should be, what he should do. You know, so we have certain examples. Now, the wise virgins, there was something that marked them out. They had oil. They had oil in their lamps, and they also had oil in the vessel. One of the dreams the sister shared, he said there was a house that was close to the powerhouse. You know, and the houses, those who live close to the powerhouse, had constant supply of energy. But those that live very far from that source of light, they didn't have constant energy. You know, so they had power outage. Well, there is a powerhouse, and that powerhouse is the spirit, is the realm of the spirit that is within us, that is within you. Now, these wise virgins, they speak of the soul. The wise virgins, they speak of the soul. Now, Brassens told us the word of God comes in three dimensions. Isn't it not so? So, we know the natural dimension. And see, you can relate to it. You know natural Israel. You can relate to it. But you see, the devil is not interested. You see, his operation is not so much so with natural Israel or with the natural church, even though it is. The devil has the powerhouse. And if you want to overcome the devil, you must deal with him from the roots. Many of us have been fighting the devil from the you know, you are dealing with the symptoms while you leave the root of the problem unattended to. Amen. There's a root of the problem. There's a root of the problem. And the root of the problem is in the soul. So the Bible says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But we are of those who do what? We press on to the saving of the soul. And I'm saying that this soul is the eternal dwelling place of God. Is it not so? He said, I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place. Zion, yes, is a place in the Middle East. But that is really elementary. The real Zion is a spiritual house. And the scripture says that you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Now, who do you find in Zion? You find angels in Zion. You find, it says, the church and general assembly of the firstborn. You find spirits of just men being made perfect in Zion. You find Jesus, the mediator, in Zion. You find God, the judge of all, in Zion. And you also find the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So the soul is in fellowship with spirits, good spirits. But it so happens also that the soul of man can also be in fellowship with bad spirits. And that aspect of fellowship, we don't want to address it. We don't want to talk about it. And, you know, as a hematologist, you know, in the days when HIV came first in Africa, or not just Africa, all over the world, everyone was in denial. It's not true. There's nothing like HIV. It doesn't exist. But when the statistics started mounting up, then everybody began to come out of denial to accept the reality that there was something like HIV. Now, the church, particularly the end time church, we need to come out of denial. Now, what is the denial? That we are in fellowship with spirits. We need to break the code of silence. We need to break the code of shame and come out plainly and say that we have been feeding spirits. We have been giving life to spirits. We have been in fellowship with these spirits. We worship these spirits. We bring sacrifice to them. And we actually serve them and worship them. And I'm not telling you about Africa. This is not Africa. I'm telling you about real life. Amen. Amen. Do you know why? Because there are two cities. There are two cities. There are two dwelling places for the soul of every man. There are two realms. And it's right there on the board. Amen. That's the division. Amen. Hell and heaven. Hallelujah. And the soul of every individual is either you are in hell or you are in heaven. And when you are in heaven, you are in fellowship with spirits. And when you are in hell, you're also in fellowship with spirits. So, fellowship with spirit is the order of the game. It just depends which kind of spirits are you fellowshipping with. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there are two cities. Zion and what's the other one? Babylon. Two of them are cities you find in the world, and they're all in the Middle East. Babylon is in the Middle East, Zion is also in the Middle East. But it so happens too that there are also realms of spiritual life and existence. And your soul and my soul can either exist in one of them or the other one. Amen. Now, when Adam sinned, he was cast out of the garden of God. Is that true? When he went into sin, he was driven out of the garden of God. Is that true? Amen. And when he had his first son, where was his first son born? The first son of Adam, where was he born? In the garden of God. Is it so? Where was the first son of Adam born? Oh, really? How do you know he was born outside? He killed his brother. Is that God-like? So it tells you where he was. Outside. Amen. And God said to him, "Dust thou art, and to dust you will go." God put a covering over the soul of Adam called dust. Carnality. Brethren, that is the battle we must win. That is the battle. That is the real battle that the devil doesn't want you to give your attention to. You can fight any other battle, but he doesn't want you to recognize and to appreciate the fact that there is a covering over the soul of every man. And that covering is called dust, carnality, darkness. Amen. And priesthood is measured with your ability to break out of that covering. When you break, or when I break out of that covering, then my priesthood starts. That's what the Bible calls firstborn. Amen. Yesterday, Brother Bob began to touch it. A man called Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Is it not so? The seventh from Adam. Adam said, "Fine, I'm out. Well, I'm going to teach this one." And the man actually broke through the covering of the flesh and walked into God. Do you understand? And it is a testimony to you and me that if you don't do so, then you will not have anyone to blame. Because the resources available to you and me, Enoch did not have. He didn't have the blood, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, and he didn't have the word that we have. Amen. So the church has a huge responsibility. Particularly this one called End Time Church. It so happens that we have gone back. We are even now in the outer court. The End Time Church is in the outer court. Not even in the holy. We used to be in the holy place. Now we are an outer court church. And we are now. And because you see, the point is that in the outer court, you have the brazen altar and the brazen laver. What makes you a priest is consecration. You cannot be a priest if you are not consecrated. Is it not so? And the End Time Church has actively fought against consecration. Actively. We have actively fought against it. And in so doing, we have found ourselves, we have drawn back. So, what we have to do now is that we must come back to the place of consecration before we even think of coming into the holy place experience. And all these things have to be done in the time of tribulation, which is now. So if God wants you to overcome, He's going to bring more tribulation. He's going to increase the pressure more. And increasing the pressure, because the Bible says that through much tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom. So I'm saying, I'm speaking about the wise virgin. Now, the wise virgin must have oil in the vessel. What is the vessel? The vessel speaks of the realms of the soul. The soul of man, he said that in the soul there are four living creatures in the soul. Is it not so? You know that. But those living creatures, in actual fact, are actually realms or dimensions of spiritual life within you. The dimensions of spiritual experience within the soul of man. And the Bible says that these wise virgins, they had oil in their vessel. So what does that mean? What does the oil speak of? What is the oil indicative of? Oil speaks of life.
Nature.
The nature. It speaks of the anointing, isn't it also? It actually comes from the Greek Hebrew word is shemen. It means grease. You rub oil. You know, but in actual fact, it speaks of the word called seed.
Seed,
yes. Because Christ is the seed. Now, you cannot receive seed without producing forth. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, evening and morning will not seed. In other words, there's a time to plant the seed, and there's a time to also bring forth the harvest for the seed. But there's another principle. The Bible says, when you plant a seed, it is not the seed you plant that you are going to harvest.
That's right.
That God will give it a body. In other words, the seed must have a body. To every seed, God will give a body. In other words, the body expresses the glory of the seed. Amen. The body expresses the glory of the seed. Amen. And Paul said, there are bodies terrestrial, isn't it so? And there are also bodies. Okay, let's go the other way. There are seeds, and there are seeds. Do you know of any celestial seed? Hallelujah. There is a spiritual seed. You know, the woman received seed, and then she was pregnant.
Hallelujah.
And then brought forth. Hallelujah. But see, that's not the end of the story. Now, the scripture tells us there was a woman called Mary that received seed. Where did she receive the seed? She got the seed in her womb, in her natural womb. Isn't that so? We also know there's another woman called the church that also received seed. Isn't that so? But there is a more important woman. Do you know that woman? There is a more important woman that is receiving seed. Your mind. Your emotions. Your desire. Your will. The soul. The soul is the womb that is receiving the seed of Christ. Hallelujah. The seed of Christ must be sown in the soul. In fact, that is the real woman that needs the seed. Amen. And God said, when God brings a seed, there must be a body to express the glory of the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at it the right way. Man has a spirit. The man also has a body, isn't also? So God took, he made the clay, and he breathed into the seed, or he released a river that began to flow from the being of God into the seed, the earth he has formed. In other words, a river began to flow from God down to man. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that where the life of God met the earth, it formed a new creation, which was a bridge between the heavens and the earth. And that is the soul. Man is a bridge. Man is the altar. Man is the doorway from the spirit into the dimensions of the earth, and from the earth into the dimensions of the spirit. In man, the heavens and the earth meet together. When I say man, in you, the heavens and the earth meet together. God cannot express himself on the earth. He needs a man that will express him. He said that Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. Do you understand? And in this time, God is raising a people that will also express that image and that glory of Christ. And that is the essence of the church. Amen. And that is the essence of Emmanuel. God in man. Hallelujah. God is coming in you that he might express. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, who knows the things of a spirit except the spirit of man or the spirit of God? In other words, the things of God, the spirit of God searcheth the deep things of God. And then the things of the spirit of man, the spirit of man searches. Okay, so the spirit of man and the spirit of God come together. The Bible said that the spirit of God has fellowship with your own spirit. So there is a communion, there is a contact, there is a fellowship between the spirit of God and your own spirit. And that fellowship is where the life of God comes. Amen. The fellowship between God and man is at the point of the spirit. So Brother says drew the diagram of the circles. This is God the Father, as the Holy Ghost, and that is the spirit of man, and then that is the soul. Okay. And then that is the body. So there's a connection between the soul of man and his body. And there's also a connection between the spirit and the soul of man. Now, the Bible says that the spirit of man and the spirit of God, that there's a witness, there's a flow of life. So the life of God comes from the Father, comes from the Father through the Son, and then through the Holy Ghost into the realm of the soul of man. But you see, the soul of man has six openings. The soul of man has six openings. That's why you are man. You have six natures. Five of these natures are in the realm of the flesh. You have the sight. You have the ear, or the hearing. You have the taste. You have the smell. And then you have the feeling. But there's a sixth one, which is the east gate. Now, this is basic. Now, when a natural man is born, the connection between his spirit and the spirit of God is blocked. This is lesson one, day one. So it's taking me 30 minutes to get there, but I've come there. There is a block between the spirit of man and the spirit of God in a natural man. The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there are three Greek words that describe three types of soul. There is pneumaticus, that is a spiritual soul. There is physicus, which is this is from the word psyche. That's, you know, this is a sensual soul. Okay, this is actually the second one. The first one is pneumaticus. It's a spiritual soul. And the third one is physicus. Now, what it says is speaking out of Greek. I'm not speaking Greek. It's just what's in the Bible. This is the natural man. His soul, his spirit, is dead to God. There is no contact with God. His spirit is detached from the spirit of God. As far as it's concerned, God does not exist. This is a beast. Now, when you see an animal, it doesn't have spirit. It has just body and soul. So in other words, what the devil has done, what he set out to achieve, is to cancel out the spirit of man. The spirit is there, but it is detached from God. It has no fellowship with God. It doesn't know God. It doesn't acknowledge that God exists. He is the architect of his own existence. He is the architect of his own destiny. The world is his stuff. He makes the world. He has to save the planet. He has to, you know, I mean, he is a man of the world. That is the natural man. God does not come into the equation. And you know what the scripture says? If you look at Revelation 8 and Revelation 16 together, in fact, I wish you can put it up. If you open the two, if you open two and just run them side by side, the Bible said that every living soul died in the sea. Every living soul died in the sea. Well, you need to open another one so that you can have two scriptures open side by side if it's possible. Then you can see it. Okay, well, let's not get distracted. But what I'm trying to say is that there is a natural man. There is a sensual man, and then there is a spiritual man. Now, the natural man, his spirit is not in fellowship with God. He's dead. The sensual man, his spirit is in fellowship to God, but this is what the Brassers were calling back doors. Okay, if I can clean this. So maybe we should just draw a big one. That's the soul. And that's the mind. No, sorry, this would be emotion. Then there's another one, the desire. Then this is the mind. And then this is the will. And then we have the six openings, and this is the realm of the spirit. And this spirit is in fellowship with the spirit of God. Now, so this is basic. Now, to the natural man, his soul, his spirit, is cut off from God. So, the Bible says the priest must not marry a widow. Remember the scripture? In Leviticus 21, it says the priest, the high priest, must not marry a widow. A woman whose husband is dead. And Jesus is what? Is the great high priest. He cannot marry a soul that is dead to him. Amen. This is lesson one of the priesthood of the soul. Amen. Now, these doors are open. But this is the real door. This is the east gate. And Ezekiel said that this east gate must be opened. Yes. Only to one man. And the Bible says his name is the Prince. So scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Hallelujah.
And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. And Brother has taught us, if God is going to speak to you, he will not speak to you through your emotion. Why? Because there's only one gate, and that is this gate. Hallelujah. But when the man is born, the gate is blocked. For a natural man, the connection, this gate is blocked. He doesn't receive anything from God. He doesn't know who God is. He doesn't even know if God exists. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that do not understand. So, the Bible says that when you are born again, that your eyes are open and you begin to see the kingdom. Isn't it not so? Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But it's not just to see, you must enter into the kingdom. Amen. So, this natural soul is what we call physicals. The natural soul is beastly. That is, the spirit is dead. Now, when the man is born again, his spirit is opened to God. And he begins to have fellowship with God. So the light of God begins to come through his spirit. Because the spirit of man cannot be indwelled by another spirit. It must only be inhabited by the Spirit of God. And then you have, so this is the essential soul, or the, what you call the psychikos.
It is the connection between the Spirit and the Spirit of God. And all the other connections have been good.
And this is the wise virgin. Because the oil does not leak out. When the life of God comes, it doesn't leak out or blocked. So when the Bible tells us about the wise virgin having oil, he's saying we must come to this experience where the back doors are closed. And I'm going to tell you how the back doors are closed. The Bible says that wisdom, I wisdom, this is Proverbs 1, Proverbs 8 and 9. Say, I wisdom, where do I stand? I stand at the opening of the gates. Wisdom, where do you find wisdom? At the opening of the doors. The opening of the gates. What does the Bible say about wisdom? It says, by wisdom, men depart from iniquity. Amen. Job 28:28 says, can you show us Job 28? Sorry, we'll come back to this. But let's just show us Job 28:28. Okay. It says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Amen. I'm just trying to summarize. So what's the summary? The back doors must be closed.
Yes.
You cannot be a wise virgin when your back doors are open. What makes you a wise virgin is that all the back doors have been closed and there is only one door open. And that door is the east gate. Now, where do you find the east gate? The east gate is found in the mind. Amen. And the Lord speak unto Moses. Speak. Amen. He didn't say, and the Lord made Moses feel good. And he knew what God wanted to say to him. But the Lord speak and said so and so to Moses. So if God wants to speak to you, what will he do? He will come to your mind. Is it any wonder that the mass media, the social media, what other media do you have? The communications media, the television media, internet media, is growing by leaps and bounds. What does the devil want to do? He wants to block. He wants to block that communication. He wants to block the mind. He says, abstain from fleshly lust. That do what? That war against the soul. Amen. Both young people and adults have problems. Because the mind is blocked by images. The soul is a house of idols. This soul was cast out of the garden of God. But the soul has to have life anyway. So the communication with God is blocked. How else do you think this soul is going to survive? by using all the other openings. Now, what happened to Eve? The Bible says the woman saw. She saw the fruit. So that was her mind. She saw the fruit. And she saw that it was good. That was her emotion. And something to be desired. To make one wise. So the emotions and the desires agree together. That's what you call passion. And passion is the driving force of Babylon. That's what feeds the natural soul. Passions. And there is no greater passion, there is no greater place to find passion than in the world. And even in the end time church, it is a major source of life for the soul. Passions. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Is the problem of the church. Amen. And you know, when that is going on, there's no life coming. Now, any ministry that is not by the Spirit is not going to bring about the resurrection of the soul. The soul must receive light. And the only light the soul can receive can only come from the realms of the Spirit. So the Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, even Mount Zion. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. So the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. But the truth is that these dark doors are active. So, that is the spiritual warfare. How do you block the back doors? Amen. Amen. How do you block the back doors? Well, there's a scripture in Isaiah 11. It says that the Lord will raise up a root out of the stem of Jesse. Huh? And then he will bring seven spirits. Seven spirits. The spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom also. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of fear of the Lord. He said, shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. In other words, the river must flow. As the river begins to flow, it begins to block the back doors. Amen. As the river flows, it will bring healing of the nations. You know, the Bible uses that word, nation. The Greek word is ethnos. The word translated nation is ethnos. That's from where you have the word ethnic. Ethnic. Well, the man's definition of ethnic is America and Nigeria and Canada. That's not God's definition of ethnic. Look at the definition of ethnic. Pneumaticos, fusicos, and so it is the type of soul that you have that determines your nation. There are the nations. It's a nation or ethnic means group of souls that have the same type of behavior. Is that not what you call America? Americans like to wear face cap. You wear this kind of coat like me. Why the British wear suit like him? So he said, these ones that wear, what do you call this? And wear face cap and eat hamburger and throw baseball. Those ones, you call them Americans. Well, as far as God is concerned, there are souls that are carnal. They have no communication with God. That is one tribe of people. The other ones, that their souls are open to God, that is another tribe of people. Then the ones that have all the back doors open is also another group of people. But the Bible said that this river will be for the healing of the souls. Amen. But you see, you cannot have a river when there's no throne. The river flows from the throne. The river flows from the throne. Isn't that so? Revelation 21 said there was a river that began to flow from the throne of God. Amen. So if your soul is not presented to God as an offering, the river cannot flow. And there will not be any healing that's coming to the soul. So this bride of Christ must have oil in the soul. That means the bride of Christ must have this door open. Now, let's bring it down to practicals. What does it mean? Now, what it means is that a natural man has no appetite for God. That's in his desire, he does not desire God. He doesn't know who God is. He doesn't even know if there is anything called God. So his desires are for himself, self. His will is fixed, is mortally committed to satisfy himself. His will does not know that there is another God. In fact, he is a God unto himself. And then his emotions, he is not excited about God. God is dead to him. The things of God are lifeless. It's not, you know, when you talk of church, I mean, anything about God is so dull. If you want to have fun, you can watch ball game. So you can spend 6 hours watching ball game and 5 minutes reading your Bible. That is a soul that is dead. It doesn't know God. And how is that soul going to be married to Christ? Don't you understand? If you are going to get married to Christ, you should spend time with Christ. You should be excited at Christ. Isn't that so? Nobody is saying amen. You want to marry someone and you are not excited at him. You don't talk to him all the time. So how is your soul the bride of Christ when you are not excited at Christ? It's a foolish virgin. And that virgin will be outside at the time of midnight. Because he doesn't know God. He won't even hear the voice of God. He doesn't even know the voice of God. Amen. So the Bible says we must be like the wise virgins. In other words, we must bring our soul and say, Lord, I must have oil. This oil speaks of the life and the anointing of Christ. Now, Esther gives us an example of one of these wise virgins. Is it not so? Esther is an example of a wise virgin. The Bible says 6 months she was purified. You know what that means? All the demons, all the devils, sorry for using the word demons, all the devils that are within the soul must be cleansed. The spirits that have lodged within our emotions. You see, when you behold an unclean image, spirits enter through your eyes into your soul. This is for the young people, even the adult people also. When you open your eyes and you behold evil, spirits enter through the gates of your eye into your soul. And when they go in there, they make a mark. That event is a mark. That's what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. It makes a mark, and the spirit lodges within your soul. And that spirit that has lodged within the soul begins to influence your soul to act in a particular way. So that in acting in that particular way, that spirit will receive life. And then with time, that spirit will maximize. That's what the Bible calls the number of his name. So it's not just that the spirit has come in, the spirit is working to maximize itself. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to bring in more spirits to join and consolidate its position. So Bible said that when a spirit has gone out, is it not so? It goes through dry places. There's no life. The life of the spirit is the soul of man. The food of the spirit is the emotions, the desires. That's the food. So when that spirit comes in, it's going to bring more wicked spirits. Say, let us go in. And they say the end of that man is worse than his former state. So this is the condition of the soul. And many of us, when we came into the world, we came in with certain familiar spirits. Certain spirits that we are particular in our families, or in our tribes, or in our nation. So God says, Abraham, he was telling him about certain spirits that he came into the world, bringing into the world. And then as he communes in life, more spirits enter into him. Hallelujah. And that soul cannot be married to Christ, because it is defiled by spirits. A virgin is the soul that has been cleaned of every contaminating spirit. That is the virgin of Christ. And brethren, we have a big job to do, because the vessel is not clean. The vessel has been defiled. Amen. But the Bible said that when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken. Amen. The Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. Amen. The church has a decision to make. The church can decide to be like upper, or decide to be like root. Amen. One went back to her gods. The other one says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Amen. Is speaking of the wise virgin that is willing to leave her gods, that is willing to forsake her people, that is willing to come into a new experience in God. That is the wise virgin. And you know, when Ruth went back to Israel, she went back at the beginning of the barley harvest. And when she began to glean, the Bible says it was the time of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. Amen. You see, many of us, we are very happy with doing church work. We're playing church. And Ruth was favored. She was involved in Pentecostal work. Ruth was involved in Pentecostal work. She was working on the field. She had fields where she was working. You know, she was gathering and harvesting. And she was making increase. She was having a nice time. She was being blessed. But Naomi said to her, "This is not all that you can get. Say, there is something. Say, watch that man. Look for him. You have the potential to be married to that man." Amen. So Ruth went beyond just wheat harvest or barley harvest. She went on to the point where she was married to Boaz. Boaz is a type of Christ. And the Bible says at midnight, there was a woman that was found under the garment, under the skirt of Boaz. She was at that place. And the Bible says she eventually got married to Boaz. So Ruth gives us the life history of the wise virgin. But many of us, we are content with church. And you know, in church, there is emotional fulfillment. You have friends, you have family, you have good counsel, you have, you know, your needs can be met, you have provisions, you have support. Everything you want, you can get from church life. But it doesn't address the most important issue. Union with Christ. Union with Christ. Amen. And that union with Christ is the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And when you think of the Feast of Tabernacles, it is a place of fullness. And many of us, we know about it in our heads. We know about wheat harvest, Pentecostal experience. We know about the barley, the born again experience. And we even know what Tabernacles speaks of. We have the book, we have read it. But have we come into the experience of Tabernacles? The spirit must feed the soul. The spirit must give life to the soul. The spirit must marry the soul. That's what Brad says, taught us, isn't it so? Is that not so? The spirit of man has dominion over the soul of man, and the soul of man has dominion over the body. Is that not so? And the spirit of God has dominion over the spirit of man. Is it not so? And that's the way it goes. Amen. But the Bible said that seven women, we took hold of one man. It said we will eat our own bread. We will wear our own apparel. We will wear our own garments. Only let us be called by your name. How many of us fit that bill? How many of us are feeding ourselves? How many of us eat what we want? And how many are fed by the Spirit? How many of us are nourished by the Spirit? How you know a wise virgin is that she eats that which the Spirit provides for her. Amen. If you are providing your own food, you have to examine yourself. I have to examine myself. Now, when the head is beheaded, when you cut this head off, there's no source of life. The source of life of the beheaded soul comes from the Spirit. Amen. The main activity or the main function of the head is to eat, is to receive life. And many of us, we are feeding ourselves. And the life we are bringing into the soul is darkness. We are not receiving life from the Spirit. We are not being fed by the mind of Christ. We are not receiving life from the Spirit. We are not being fed by the mind of Christ. Amen. We are not being fed by the mind of Christ. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagle. Many of us do not have the ability to overcome the flood Brother Mark talked of. He's wanting to know that there is flood. How do you escape the flood? You know what the flood is? Offense, resentment, bitterness, backbiting, unforgiveness, uncleanness, lust. It is a flood from the enemy, and it is all over the world. How can you overcome the flood? You need wings. Hallelujah. You need what? Wings. To rise in God. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord will do what? Will renew their strength. And they will do what? They will mount up with wings and fly away. Hallelujah. The woman was taken into the wilderness. What did they give her? The wings of an eagle. Hallelujah. You need wings. You need wings. You need wings to rise. The emotion must rise. You must decide, what would you be excited about when you watch a movie? What's the other one? The Dark Knight Rises. You watch it and you feel happy. Yes, you are eating your own food. You are not excited at God. Hallelujah. Amen. The mind must rise. The emotion must rise. Hallelujah. And this is a practical situation where we are rising. Where the best phone you have is not with the thing you call your phone. When you are checking your email and doing that, is the best time of your life. You are, it's back door. You see that the desire has enlarged its coast as hell. Hell is enlarging itself like the desire. And you know, all the advertisement I see in America, the name of the game is advertisement. Advertisement. Adverts. Advertising, yes. Everything is advertised. And what is it appealing to? The back doors. Your credit card is controlled by your desire. The credit card is controlled by... Is it controlled by what the Lord is saying to you? Are you buying the things the Lord says you should buy? Or the things that your flesh wants? Amen. Many of us are in debt. Not because God put us in debt, because our flesh put us in debt. And we must repent. We must repent. Because we are being ruled by our senses. And that kind of soul cannot be the bride of Christ. It's a foolish bride. And that soul is serving a priesthood which is not according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. There's so much to be said. But I'm trying to bring a functional reality. Something that you can work with. Something that you can put to use on a daily basis. And the thing is, what appetite do you have? You can begin to pray and say, God, change my appetite. You can begin to pray. You say, God, I want to eat from your garden. Do you know Adam was eating from the garden of God? Many of us, we have been cast out of the presence of God. It's almost like a century since we had fellowship with God. Since we heard the voice of God. But God said we can go back into that garden and begin to feed from the garden of God. Amen. God says, I will dwell between the cherubims. It's a nature. It's a nature of the soul. Between the wings of the cherubim. There were cherubims that had four wings, other ones had six. It speaks of an overcoming. It speaks of a progression. And he said that he took coals from the altar and he brought it to the lips and healed. He said, your lips have been healed. The lip is not the physical mouth, it is these back doors. The back doors must be healed. And it is healed at the golden altar. Amen. The soul must come to the golden altar and present itself. Say, God, close the back doors. God cannot close the back doors when you have not offered it to God. You must bring it as an offering to God. Say, God, close my back. I want you to feed me. Feed my soul. Manna speaks of hidden. It speaks of a source of energy that is from God. The manna speaks of the river of God, the life of God that is coming from the spirit into the soul. And when that life comes, wherever it comes, it will bring healing. It will heal the nations. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. So God is restoring a river. God is restoring a source of life. That is, you're able to draw life from the Spirit. Now, you draw life from the Spirit when you turn your mind to the Word of God. The connection, the doorway into the Spirit is through the Word of God. It's through the mind. That's the connection. Because the Spirit of God will teach you. He said he will teach you in the words of, not according to man's wisdom, but in the words of the Spirit. And the Bible said that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So there is a connection, there is a way in which we can enter into the Spirit, through which we can draw life from the Spirit. And it is through the Word of God. We can begin to learn how to draw life. So, when there is a problem, your bill has not been paid, what do? You use your head. Your bill has not been paid, you turn your soul unto the Lord. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And the Lord will give you a strength, will answer you within. And will supply your need. Now, that is a spiritual woman. That is a bride. And that is the church that is going to overcome. Now, the devil is fighting you to block your mind, to block your ability to receive from God. And you cannot overcome the devil by fighting him in the flesh. He will fight you in the flesh. He will bring distractions. He will, you know, everything in the natural is going to go bonkers. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So God is raising up a people. When everything else is failing, they have a connection to God. And that connection is within. Amen. So these are some principles that God is beginning to open unto us. And there are things that can enable us to overcome practically. The things that can help us to draw life from God. So where you have not been excited at God, where your mind has been blocked, where your emotions have been damaged, there is another door that's been opened where you can begin to touch God. Because God is coming down because he wants to make here Emmanuel, God with us. And the fullness of God is coming within the soul of man, within the mind. The reality of God is coming within the mind and within the four dimensions of the soul. Now, that is church. That is the offering. I'm sorry, but the time is gone. God has finished with church. God has what? Finished with the business called church. The only thing he's interested in is the soul. The salvation of the soul. The soul is the prize of God. A gathering like this is good because it gives God the opportunity to address the souls of men. Amen. The days are over when fellowship for fellowship's sake is the order of the day. Amen. We need fellowship, but it's a place where we can come together to hear the word of God. Amen. God has no interest to sustain any platform that will not do his business. The business of God now, he says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That means it's at midnight. And that's where we are. In the twinkling of an eye. Bible says, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So, fellowship is to hear the trumpet. It's to encourage the trumpet of God to come forth. So that the change can come in the lives of men. Amen. That's what fellowship is. So God is redefining fellowship. Yes, there was a time when he did all those things, but it's no longer a social club. Amen. God has moved beyond a social gathering. He is looking for souls. He's looking for the offerings. Souls that are offered to him so that he can bring a change. Because this is his bride. And this is where his investment is. Amen. God is not going to sustain or anoint any other business, any other platform. It's not to say that people cannot meet together. A church has life of its own. When you gather together, you pray, you sing, you read the Bible, somebody will preach. Is it by the Spirit? Is there a change in the soul? Is the soul resurrecting? Hallelujah. If the soul is not resurrecting, then it is business. It's church business. Hallelujah. It has not served the purpose of God. It is wasting the economy and the resources of God. Amen. The purpose is that the soul must rise. The resurrection of the soul must also come into play. So I think those are the things that God is saying to us. And those are issues that we need to take to heart and review. And to my mind, it calls for repentance. And I have realized that I have been the outer court. And I said, God, I cannot remain in the outer court. Because I said, thou will not leave my soul in hell or suffer your Holy One to see corruption. God has promised to take my soul and to bring it out and to bring it into a place where it can come into fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry I've taken a lot of time, but I just felt that we should look at some basic principles. I'm sure maybe if there are questions, maybe we can address it some other time. But these are some basic principles and thoughts that are in the scriptures, relating to the priesthood of the soul. The soul is the ultimate priest of God. If you look at Revelation, you see it. If this is the temple, then the priest is within the soul. And the Bible calls it the 24 elders. It is double what you find in the Old Testament. You know, so this is the way to go. And this is what God is anointing actively. You know, that you are the ultimate priest of God. You must bring the offering of your soul continually unto God. Amen. And, you know, so we need to begin to, you know, look at them and, you know, move beyond just talking about the natural and church. We need to look at the ultimate church. And that ultimate church is the soul. And the Bible says we are not of them who draw back, but those who press on to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. Amen.